Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
Turn with me, if you would, this morning to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I would like to go down to verse 17. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And I told you that we were going to talk a little bit about fishing this morning. And before we actually get to what's taking place here on the screen, we're going to walk through the steps of how you can become a good fisherman, all right? And the things that it actually takes to become a good fisherman. Now, first of all, I want to tell you, if you see this picture on the wall here, and as you see these pictures up here on the wall, you're going to see good fishermen, all right? Now, but the thing about these fishermen that you're going to see on the wall is that they have a different point of view on fishing, okay? And so we'll bring that out as we work our way through this. Different thoughts on fishing. I like the smile on this guy's face, right? He's a happy fisherman. Now, I would like to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And there it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And Karen wanted to know, how was I going to fit this into fishing this morning? Well, it's going to be very simple, I think, as we work our way through this. All right, let me read this verse to you again. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation." A new creation. "Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Now, in order to be a good fisherman, there's one thing, or I'm going to give you four things that you have to be or have to do. The first thing you have to do in order to be a good fisherman is you have to have expectation. Expectation to be a good fisherman. Nobody would ever go out and fish for 5 hours or maybe all day long and at the end of the day realizing that this is all they're going to catch and still go out and fish the next day unless they had good expectation. But what I will say about this picture here is this individual had dedication. How many of you ever caught a fish that big? Dedication with expectation in order to catch fish. Commitment, right? Now we think about fishing. Now this is all in fun, okay? Now we think about fishing. We have been called to be fishers of men too. Amen? Now as being called to be fishers of men, Jesus said this to his disciples. Some people say, well, he just limited it to disciples. Now, if he came to the disciples that day and said, "Come, follow me, for I will make you fishers of men," or "from henceforth, I will make you fishers of men." And a lot of times we say, well, how do you become a fisher of men? Well, it's a lot like fishing. You do it with expectation of accomplishing something. Amen? And how do we do that? And do we go out and push it on somebody? Do we go out and force it on somebody as we expect God to work His work in the lives of individuals around us? Well, no, not really. The way that we do that and the way that we accomplish God's work is simply by doing what God has called us to do in the first place in order to be fishermen. You know what he says to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16? And some of you could probably quote this verse, and once I start quoting it, you will know it. Because in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Jesus said there, he said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Otherwise, all you got to do is just let people see the good works in you. And as they see these good works in you, then they begin to glorify God. They say there's something unique about that, right? Now, I bet you if we asked Stan after he caught that fish, did he go out the next day to fish again? And he said, no. He's a good fisherman. He's committed. He's dedicated. And so he goes back out. Expecting, man, I always expect to catch the big fish, all right? Folks, stay with me. This one. This is good stuff. I always expect to catch the big fish. Why? Because I expect God to do great and mighty things. If he says to you and me, you know, come, I will make you fishers of men, then that's exactly what he will do. And all we have to do is just do what he calls us to do, right? Is let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And what are some of the good works? Let me take you over to 1 Peter, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8 and 9, he gives us a kind of like a little guideline of the things that you and I are to do as we let our light so shine before men. Now, I told you this morning that this was would be called the big story. And so with that, while you're turning, I have to tell you the story of this guy. It's a big story. And most time when you talk to fishermen, they've all got a big story to tell. Amen? If you're a fisherman, you know what I'm talking about. You got a big story. The big one that got away. Well, here's a little story. It's about a guy, and I probably shared this story with you again. Just bear with me, all right? I've only got so many. But it's about a guy who's all he ever did was just tell these great big stories all the time. And the people in the church got tired of it. And they go to the pastor and said, "Pastor, you have got to do something about this guy, because that's all he's ever doing, just telling these great big stories. And he's just telling these stories all the time. You got to do something." And so the pastor got with him one day and he said, "I'll fix this guy." He said, "I will put a stop to these big stories that this guy is telling. Ladies, whenever your husband comes home and tells you these big fish stories, this is the way to put a stop to it." So the pastor got this guy off to the side one day and he said, "Now listen, I want to tell you something." And he starts telling this great big story. He said, "I was back in this holler in West Virginia." There, I said it. "So I was back in this holler in West Virginia at this little bitty church, and I'm preaching." And he said, "All of a sudden, this big grizzly bear comes through the back door, and he just starts grabbing people on each side and just tearing them up." And he said, "It got me scared." He almost got to the front. And he said, "And this little bitty poodle dog come in the back door, grabbed on the back of that big bear, dragged it outside, and just killed it right there." And he figured that story was so big that there's no way this guy would believe it. And he looked at that guy. He said, "Now, do you believe that story?" And the guy said, "Well, sure I do." He said, "I believe that." He said, "It was my poodle dog." So, yes, the stories, the big stories. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Now, 2 Peter tells us to do this. No, 1 Peter. Chapter 3, verse 8, says, "Finally," now here's the interesting thought about this, all right? He talks about the family before he gets to this, and then he comes out and he just wants to talk to common folks or common people or common Christian. Remember we were studying a couple weeks ago on Wednesday night, and we read down through there in Hebrew, I think, talk about a common salvation that you and I all have, you and I all or that we all have this common salvation. Well, here he's going to talk about common things that should take place in the lives of people that serves him. Amen. Now look at what some of the things he says here. He said, finally, be ye all of one mind. Well, boy, I tell you, if there's ever a hard thing to accomplish, it's hard to accomplish that, is to be in a one mind. How many of you have been married or married? Are you and your wife or your better half or whatever, or you guys are all of one mind? Watch how you answer that. If your wife is not here or if your husband's not here, it's safe to answer, right? But never, Karen and I first got married, we used to, she and I used to do a lot of things. Together, we were so young and we were just happy, but she and I was never, we never thought alike. I mean, if there was something I liked, she would dislike it. I mean, she loved pasta, I hated pasta. I loved pork, beans, and all that type of stuff. She hated pork, beans, and all that type of stuff. And all, I mean, I liked to fish. She wasn't that much of a fisherman or that type of deal. And I never was much of a fisherman. I only got the big tails, all right? But she didn't like fishing. I loved a lot of things that would do. She liked people. I didn't like people. Now it's completely reversed. But let me tell you something. Over the years, as she and I had developed our relationship, and we got to know one another, we actually, even though we disagree in a lot of different areas, we think a lot alike. You know, I'll be sitting around sometimes, and I know you guys can relate to this, that you've been married for years. I'll be sitting around with her sometimes, and I'll think something. Then I'll look at her, and I'll say, you know, I think I'd like to do this or to go do that. And she'll look at me, she says, you know, I was just thinking that. And I tell her then, I say, you know, good minds think alike. But as we develop the relationship, we began to think a lot alike. But we still had a lot of things we didn't. I've never convinced her to eat pinto beans. You know that? Can't get her to do it. But I have come over on the pasta. I shouldn't tell you this. I have come over on the pasta part of it. She's convinced me that pasta is okay. I'll eat it sometimes. Spaghetti, you know, macaroni cheese, that type of stuff. And I'm thinking, now that I'm thinking about this, maybe you ought to start eating some beans. Sometimes life just isn't fair. I always tell her, and I get on these tangents too. I always tell her, you know, she, over the years, she has gotten a lot more out of this than I have. And the reason I can say that is because whenever she and I got married, she weighed about 110 pounds. And now that we've been married for 53 years, going on 54 years, she still weighs 116 pounds. I've gotten an increase of 6 pounds. And then she and I got married, I weighed 128 pounds. And now I've lost a little bit of weight. She's losing her, what do you call that, interest there. It's starting to drop, but profit. I'm down to 200 pounds now. But she's got an increase in her investment of over at least 75-80%. Right? So she's gotten a little bit more out of this than I have. But let's get back to this. Okay. Oh, finally, be ye all of one mind. Notice that. We don't all have to agree on everything. Amen. But at the same time, we can begin to think alike as we develop and grow together as a church. Amen. As God's people. Why? Because we have common interest and we have high expectations of what God can do in and amongst us. Amen. I tell you what, a guy catch a fish like that and go out the next day is a guy with high expectation. Sorry, Stan. Yeah. I tell you, you are my hero, buddy. Finally, brethren, be of one mind. And I told you we're just going to have a good service this morning, fun. Having compassion, having sympathy for one another. For one another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful or have, again, compassion or be compassionate towards one another. I remember we were taking a class on how to handle a relationship between wife and husbands. This was a good one, all right? And they told us you need to be careful on the pebbles that you throw, because a pebble that you are throwing, something small, something that you say that is small to you, can be a big rock to someone else or a boulder and can destroy them. And so here Paul is in his writing, Peter is saying, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be compassionate, be conscious of what you say, and be courteous, be humble. And then notice where he says, not rendering evil for evil. And boy, that's an easy thing to do when you get caught up in traffic, right? Wanting to render evil for evil. And you know what gets me sometimes? I will sometimes be driving down the freeway, and you will too, and I'll see these guys who will get upset with me or do things that are not appropriate. And then if they do these things that are appropriate, if they go by me, I look at the back of their car, and they got a bumper sticker on the back of their car saying, love Jesus, or something along those lines. You know what I mean? Evil for evil. And I'm thinking, only on the freeway you're allowed to do that. No. Then he said, rallying for rallying, but counterclockwise blessings, knowing that ye are thereunto called that you should inherit a blessing. Railing for railing. What's that? It's kind of like when you ever get in a debate with your husband or your wife, or you two be talking, and you will say something, and if you say something, she got to come back at you with something a little bit stronger. And then I got to top that, and then I'm going to throw something a little bit stronger back at her. Then next thing you know, you're in an argument. That's what he's saying. And don't do that with one another, and not in a church. And folks, sometimes we get in the church like that. Somebody says something. They don't really mean it. Well, maybe they do mean it. It's what we do. We have to come back harder, more angry, do more damage. I got to get back. Paul said, don't do that. You know, just be you. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Expectation. Do you expect God to do something through you? Every day we get up with expectation, knowing that God is going to do something as he works us to life itself. Are you with me? Well, we have this and we'll go to the next one. And I hear Bob and I hear Stan. Whenever they go fishing with anticipation. Anticipation. Listen, we live our whole life with anticipation, don't we? You ever watch these guys whenever they fish? Whenever they fish, they'll fish at the edge of the pond, or they'll fish somewhere where the cattails are sticking up, or somewhere around those dill. And they'll fish around the edges of these ponds. Even at the end of the day, whenever the sun's going down, they will still be there fishing around the edges of this. Why? Because they want to catch something. They got their anticipating something to take place. They are unselfish in their determination to catch the big catch and to move on to doing all these different things as they fish. They genuinely hope in hope, knowing that there won't catch nothing. I don't know how many times I've sat on a riverbank and I've been catching these little minnows and still sit there hour after hour after hour, knowing that there's something big in that pond and I'm going to pull it out sooner or later. Always on the edge. Anticipation. You ever notice at the end of the day, whenever the fishing done? Now, some of you can relate to this because you're fishermen, and we'll get back to this in just a moment. Some of you can relate to this because you're fishermen. But at the end of the day, it seems like I have been sitting on the pond in a boat or whatever, and I've been fishing all day long, and I haven't caught hardly anything, maybe that little one that Stan had on his pole. And then at the end of the day, whenever the sun begins to go down, are you with me? The sun begins to go down. And then you look over at the edge of the pond that you're fishing in, and you see all the cattails and all the stumps and stuff like that. And all of a sudden you start hearing all these fishes begin to jump up and down. Have you ever done that? I've done that at the end of the day like that. And it seems like, where were you earlier whenever I was fishing for you? Here's the thing, the term anticipation. Here's where I believe, and this is a unique thing, I think, and this is it. You and I are at the end, all right, at the end of the day. The sun going down. The noise in the world is being made, and people are flashing around. And folks, listen to me. They need for the light to be shining in the world that we live in, especially in the time that we live. People are thirsting after a lot. How many of you know that they were so excited and to get Trump in the office of the White House? And he's there. They were anticipating great things being done. And he's moving, doing a lot of things. But folks, listen to me. I anticipate more, not from Trump, but from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we begin to let our light shine at the end of the day as we see the fish jumping in the pond to let them know that there's something there. You know, God is real. He's real in us. I don't have to verbally tell them. All I have to do is just allow the light to shine. Amen. And as the light shines, people begin to see something unique, something different in that person. Now, I don't know about you, but as I looked through that, if you really want to know how to fish, now I've got to tell you this story, okay? And the story is that I think Hugh was only about to fish one time. Why? Because she was successful. You and I are only gotten the chance to fish one time. Mm-hmm. That's what it's like. If you get the glory, you won't get the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. You'll not get the opportunity to let your light so shine. You're not going to get to tell someone, listen, you can come to know Christ. Why? Because you're already done. Time has ended. We're in his presence, isn't it? The fish, by you can, that whenever somebody asked you, you say, at the end of the journey.
Now, she quit, really. You didn't need to go back. Why? Because she was successful in her quest. She caught the big one. That's one I wanted to catch. That's the one Stan was looking after, out for. That's the one Bob wanted. And that's the one Bobby tried to catch, but she caught it. Amen. I don't know if this is getting anywhere or not, but I'm going to tell you this morning that this is it. You and I have an opportunity to fish, and there's only places that you can fish and places I can fish. And God wants us to do our best where we're fishing and be successful at it. And we can be successful. Why? Because he's given us his word
He gives us His Spirit, and all we have to do is let it. Amen? Let the light of Jesus shine through us. Now, if we say that expectation, it always involves hope, all right, the third point. Every time I would go out fishing, I would hope at the end of the day I'd catch that big one. And I'll be honest with you, as far as real fishing is concerned, I don't have no great big stories that I could tell you to give you a lot of hope in that area. If you want that kind of hope, you're going to have to talk to this person. And if you want to go a little bit further back and you feel intimidated by this one, go back to Bobby. Or go back to Bob. And they will help you out. But if you still feel too intimidated to talk to these guys about fishing, you can always go back and talk to that guy. But I am telling you, if you want to be fishers of men, you will find the answers if you will seek after it. God will give it to you through someone, some way, somehow. He will give you what you need. Now, if we say, now listen, now I'm bringing this to a close. Right? Expectation. Folks, listen, this church will never go anywhere unless you expect it to. That's simple as that. You can bring all the preachers in here you want, and he can do all the expecting, and I'm not putting anybody on a stand. He can do all the expecting, but if the people of that church don't expect God to do something, God won't. But if you go in expecting God to do something, you begin to live it and believe it, then God will do it. He promised you to do that. He said, if you will do the work that He's called you to do, He said, I will give to you the increase. That's His word. Expect it. With anticipation and excitement, knowing you're going to catch the big one. Hoping in Christ.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.